All right, I think by now, since we're in part 23, you guys know what we're doing. But for those that might not, we've started a series on entitled "Rooted: Foundations for Kingdom Living," and within that title, we've been looking at six different foundations of the kingdom and understanding who you are. And each one of these foundations have built on the other. And I hope you guys have seen how the one is dependent on the other. You need to know the love of God before you can know how God sees you, right? You have to know how God sees you before you can know how you can see yourself, right? And then as we see ourselves, we are now in part six of this series, understanding your spiritual authority. You know, once you understand your spiritual makeup and who you are and the new creation realities in Christ Jesus, now you can start walking in those kingdom realities, walking in the authority of the believer. And a lot of times when people teach on the authority of the believer, they jump right into how to use your authority. But what I find is that a lot of people haven't been taught on, first of all, where does authority come from? And why is there a devil in the world? You know, if your concept is that God created the devil and gave him the authority and power to wreak havoc on humanity, that's going to give you a weird picture of God. Am I right? And what have we learned? We learned that God has absolute all authority. And all authority and power comes from him. Right? So if he is the source of all authority and he's the source of all power. There is no authority or power independent of God. God created the physical realm, and then he delegated authority to humanity, to Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them dominion over his creation. And we know that Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent. And this is very important. They were deceived. They weren't forced. They weren't forced by the serpent. The devil didn't come in and use his great authority and his great power against humanity. He used deception. Why? Because when he rebelled against God, he disconnected himself from the source of authority and power, and he had no authority or power. He had no authority or power over humanity, over Adam and Eve. So he had to deceive the ones that did have authority. He deceived Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were deceived and willingly submitted themselves unto his ways rather than God's and forfeited their authority to Satan. And the Bible says, making him the new God of this world. So where did Satan get his power and authority? Did he get it from God? No, he got it from us. And he still does today. Whenever we yield to Satan, whenever we yield to the kingdom of darkness, whenever we yield to temptation, guess what? You just empowered him in your life. That's why it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I mean, this is so important because there's a lot of Christians that are really They're really superstitious when it comes to spiritual things. They think the devil has all these muscles, that he's all strong. We talked about this last week. You know, whenever you see a picture of the devil, he's all buff, has the goatee. You know, he's in a three-piece suit looking good, and Jesus looks like somebody that's starving, that has had a meal in 40 days, and weak and puny with a little halo. It's a complete opposite. It's a complete opposite. Satan has no authority. He has no power. You know, I hesitate to say this because I've never heard anyone else say this. So when I say something that I've never heard before from anybody else, I question it. But I'll say it, and if you can agree with it, if you don't like it, knock it off your plate. Ain't gonna. But could it be that when Satan, Lucifer, rebelled against God, wanted to be God, wanted to be equal with God, wanted to get the praise and the honor of God, when he said all those, I will, and God cast him down and brought judgment on him. And some say that Satan took a third of the angels with him. Some say that he didn't. I don't know. We're not going to argue about that. But we do know that he has angels, right? There's demons. Could it be that when Lucifer questioned God's authority, questions God's rulership, questioned the way that God did things, could it be God says, okay, I will make earth. I will put man on the earth. I will give them exactly what you wanted, Satan. I will give them dominion. I'll give them authority over the earth. And it's playing out for all creation, both physical and spiritual creation, to see what it looks like when people live independent from God, when people get exactly what Satan demanded. Think about that. You know, angels could say, you know, they could start serving God out of fear. Well, if anybody steps out of line, God's going to cast them out of heaven like he did Lucifer. But now they get to see that God's ways are always the best ways, that Satan's ways always leads to death, chaos, and torment. Again, I've never heard that said anywhere, but this is things I think about. I think about these things. So he put Adam and Eve in the garden. Satan had no authority, so he came in and deceived. He's seen that Adam and Eve was given something. They were given free will. They were given authority and dominion over this earth. And he knew that if he could get them to live his way rather than God's way, he could become their God. So Adam and Eve, they forfeited their authority to Satan, make him the new God of this world, and Satan took humanity hostage through sin and disobedience. Now God was obligated here. God was obligated by his word. And this is something we don't understand. We don't really understand true integrity of our words. That when we say, when God says something, that's it. He doesn't say anything flippantly. When it comes out of his mouth, it becomes law. I mean, if God would have came into the darkness to create the earth, and instead of saying, let there be light, really it was, light be, and light was. If he would have went out there and said, man, it is dark out here, it would have been so dark, you've never seen darkness before. See, when God says something, it happens. It happens. So God said to Adam and Eve, you have dominion. You have authority. I give the earth to you. So he was obligated by his word not to take that dominion and authority back from them. But we would, right? Thank God we're not God. God was obligated by his word to honor man's ability of submitting themselves to the kingdom of darkness, even though that was never his will for them or us. That was never his will. And God, in his great love, came after us to rescue humanity from slavery of sin, death, and the grave, and at the same time regain our authority to rule and reign in life, all while staying in the holiness, in the righteousness of the integrity of his word. He did this by becoming flesh, by becoming not only the Son of God, but by also becoming the Son of Man. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That's what we've been leading up to. That's what we've been talking about thus far. And that should answer so many questions for you. I mean, if you think about these things, I think about these types of things. That right there, and I preached a great message on it. I think it was good. Job. You know, so many people jump over Jesus. They run past all his promises to get to the book of Job to see what God is like. But Satan accused God in the book of Job of protecting Job. Right? Did you not put a hedge of protection around him? Why was Satan able to accuse God? Because God, even though he had the power to do so, did not have the authority to do that. And then soon after, Job, because Job is the book, the oldest book in the Bible. Do you know that? There's no mention of the law in it. There's no mention of the Abrahamic covenant. No covenant at all mentioned at all in the book of Job. And then after that, we see God starting to make covenant with man so that he had the right to protect them. It's all about authority. Again, I'm not saying that God doesn't have the power to do anything he wants, but because of the integrity of his word, because of who he is, absolute, holy, he cannot go against what he has said. And the thing of it is, he's so wise that he's got this devil beat 100 different ways, a million different ways. So, do you understand that? So far, you guys understand saying this? So God is a spirit in chapter 2, verse 24. And it says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. And we've seen last week that Satan is also a spirit, right? God does not have a physical body. And seeing that he gave the power and authority over the earth to physical human beings, it would have been unjust or contrary to his word or covenant that he spoke out of his mouth to come to the earth and intervene in the affairs of men, independent of man. That's why everything that you ever see that God has done in the Bible, he worked with a man or a woman. Everything. He worked through them. He had prophets prophesy. He had Moses deliver the children of Egypt. Could God have delivered the children of Egypt independent of Moses? Yeah, he had the power to do so. But he didn't have the authority to do so. Yeah. Do you understand this? Okay. God couldn't just step in and straighten out this mess humanity made. But that's what we as parents do, don't we? We want to jump right in, straighten it all out for our kids. And you need to understand this, because people will take my words and make me say something I'm not. Understand that God had the power to do so. He could have stepped in. He could have done that. He could have stepped in. He had the power to do so. And as judge and creator and the Almighty and the judge of the universe, he also had the right to do so. He could have said, I'm tired of this horrible mess. I'm just going to wipe the slate clean and start all over. And he almost did in the time of Noah. So he has the power to do so, and as judge at any moment, he could have done so. But he would have had to bring complete judgment upon humanity. Wipe everyone off the face of the planet. But thank God that that's not the way God is. That's not his nature. God is love. God always had the right and the privilege, because he is almighty, but outside of complete judgment, he did not have the authority to come into the affairs of men and change things independently from man's willing cooperation. And you can see this in the Bible. It makes all these stories, you know, he comes and finds Gideon and he tells him who he is, the mighty man of valor. Why? Because there's a war to be fought. And Gideon was the man. He comes to Joshua. He comes to David. There's a giant that needs to be killed. He works through men. Do you know, there was an interesting statement that Jesus made as he was being arrested to go to the cross. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter cut off the servant's ear and Jesus healed the servant right in front of everyone, he made a statement to Peter, and he says, do you not know that I could call 12 legions of angels? I could call 12 legions of angels, Peter. I don't need you to cut off ears. Do you know that a legion denoted a group of at least 6,000 Roman soldiers? Do you know that in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 36, it records that a single angel obliterated 185,000 men in one night? So can you do the math? I did it for you, so don't worry. There was enough combined strength at Jesus' disposal to have annihilated 13,320,000,000 men. That's more than twice the number of the people living on this planet right now. So what was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, I always had the power to call 12 legions of angels and wipe out every single person on this planet. I never had to go to the cross. I never had to go to the cross. I could have wiped it all out. I don't have to go to the cross, Peter. But the cross was the only way that I could save the entire human race. God always had the power to wipe us out. But there was only one way for him to redeem us all. So the reason that God didn't have the authority wasn't because he was powerless or because he didn't have the right to bring judgment. The reason God did not have authority was because he was obligated to keep the integrity of his word. Because as we've seen last week in Genesis and in Psalms, we've seen that he gave authority to rule and reign over the earth to mankind, even though they used that authority in a way he never desired, and we are still using it to this day in a way that he never intended us to use. So that's why God became a man. I mean, do you ever think about this stuff? I mean, why did God become a man? Why did God do it this way? I mean, couldn't he just showed up and rescued us, saved us? See, Christians, and I say it's pastor's fault. We don't teach people anything anymore. We gave you three points in a poem and send you on your way. But anyways, the reason why Jesus came to earth, this is the reason why Jesus came to earth. It all comes back to authority that he was given, that God had given to physical human beings. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was the Word made flesh. He was the God-man. Jesus had to become a physical person so that he could have authority in the earth. God could not have rescued humanity any other way. See, he was limited in what he could do by working through humanity. You know, for 4,000 years, he worked through humanity. He covenants, the law, all these things, all to get to one point of getting Jesus into the earth. God could not work through humanity because it was limited, because we were all corrupt. We were all deceived. We were all under bondage of sin and the deception of the devil. Look at what Ezekiel prophesied. In Ezekiel 22:30, it says, "So I sought," this is God speaking, "so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none." No one. God was looking for a man in humanity, one that could stand in the gap, one that could build the wall, one that could come on our behalf so that the land would not be destroyed, and he found no one. Who was that one? Jesus. Look at what Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, verse 16. It says, "He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor." Who's our intercessor? "Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him." Who is our intercessor before God? Jesus. Who is the salvation, the arm of salvation of God? It's Jesus. God could not use man to save man, because a slave cannot save a slave. A slave cannot free a slave. They don't have the right to. Do you understand that? All humanity were slaves to sin. Only a free man can free a slave. And there was no man. So God became the man. Jesus came, born of a woman, but free from the claws of sin and death. He was born free. God gave dominion of this world to physical human beings, so God took upon himself flesh and limited himself. Think of this. God limited himself to a fleshly body, a physical body. Think about that. Think about how much God loves us. That he could have wiped us out anytime. And you know what? I bet you there's God's God. He could have erased it from his memory that we ever existed. He could have done that at any time. But we have an almighty God that humbled himself and put himself in a physical body. He experienced hunger. He experienced what it meant to be hot and sweat and be uncomfortable. He understood what it meant to have people berate him and treat him disrespectfully. He stank. There's no deodorant back then. Jesus stank. He had to use the restroom. I don't say this to shock you. I'm saying this so you get a revelation that God became a man. And we question if he really loves us or not. We question if he's really good. That's like you. There's an ant hill down here, and you decide to become an ant to save these ants. No, you'd stomp the ant hill and keep walking. God became a man. Jesus came, born of a woman, but free from the claws of sin. God gave dominion to the physical world, and Jesus became a physical human being, and represented the love and of the Father. So, up to this point, other questions start popping in your head. Like, so why didn't Jesus just show up a full-grown man? Right? Couldn't he just showed up in a jet airliner, Gulfstream, landed on Earth, got out and said, I'm the Messiah. It goes back to authority. The reason why he didn't is because God had to make him a physical being, and God gave dominion to Adam and Eve to multiply and replenish the earth. You understand that? God couldn't just create a human being. He had to come through man. 4,000 years from the fall to the birth of Jesus. And for 4,000 years, God spoke to men's spirits, their corrupt spirits. And then they would take those words and speak them out of their mouths. That's why there's all these prophecies about the Messiah. So we read the Bible, and we look at all these miracles and all these things that happen, and never registers that was a 4,000-year period. 4,000 years. That's a long time. It took that long to get men to cooperate with God enough to get enough word of God spoken by men with authority in the earth to speak the prophecies that Jesus became. You realize that? See, God is working within his word with the authority that he gave to man. It literally took God 4,000 years to find enough people who would operate in enough faith to speak forth and prophesy the things needed to be spoken for Jesus' body to be created. Let me preface this here. I'm not saying that man spoke Jesus into existence. Jesus was pre-existent. He is the all-existent one. He's existed from all eternity. He is part of the Godhead. He is the Almighty. But his physical body, his earth suit, had to come through the authority of man. How many people do you think it took for God to inspire a virgin shall conceive and bear a son until Isaiah spoke it out of his mouth? How many of you, most Christians have a hard time going up to people and telling them that Jesus loves them. But in the fullness of time, when all these prophecies had been spoken over a 4,000-year period, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, approaches a teenage girl named Mary and told her what God was wanting to do with her life. I mean, was Mary the first virgin that God went to? But I think he knew Mary's heart. She was probably the first one. But she had to humble herself. She humbled herself. Mary humbled herself and said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." Even in the birth of Jesus, working with Mary, God would not overcome her free will, negate her free will, or her authority. Be it done unto me according to your word. Some of us need to start saying that. And he took, and the Holy Spirit took all the prophecies, the spoken words of God, and the word entered into Mary's womb, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's amazing. Now, Satan was in trouble. Satan was in trouble now because up to this point, God couldn't get to Satan without directly violating his word. Humanity's authority shielded Satan from getting to him and stripping him of his power. The power that we gave him. The authority that we gave him. This is why Jesus had to become a man. I mean, I think some Christians think that God just did it this way because it makes a good story, right? He knew we needed Christmas and we needed Easter. You know, we had to have some kind of holiday or celebration. People don't think, and they haven't been taught. In John chapter 5, verse 26, it says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." God gave Jesus the right to exercise judgment. The authority to exercise judgment. Why? Why did Jesus say that he had the authority to execute judgment? Because he was the Son of God? Nope. Because he was the Son of Man. When you see in the Bible the terms Son of God and Son of Man, both refer to Jesus. Son of Man emphasizes his human physical side, where Son of God emphasizes his divinity and the presence of Almighty God that dwelt in Christ's body. You understand that? Because Jesus existed before the worlds were created. He is the eternal God, and he created all things. You need to hear that because when you start explaining this, people think you're saying stuff that you're not saying. Jesus was preexistent. You know, when he came to the earth, wasn't the first time Jesus came into existence. He actually created the earth that he came into. He created the physical bodies that he became himself. Jesus existed before the worlds were created. He is the eternal God. He created all things, but Jesus was also God manifest in the flesh. He was God and fully man simultaneously. Jesus was the God-man. When Jesus said that God gave him authority to execute judgment because he was the Son of Man, he was making reference to his physical body. He always had power as creator, but he did not have authority until he put on flesh. God did all this to uphold and confirm the integrity of his word. Jesus entered into the devil's kingdom and destroyed it. It actually says that he embarrassed the devil. He made a public spectacle of him. He knocked his teeth out. When it talks about this public spectacle of him, Paul was actually literally referring to what the Romans would do to great generals that they would conquer. They would conquer, they would bring back to Rome, and they would strip them naked, cut off both thumbs and both big toes, and pull them behind a donkey. I'll say donkey. Tied to a rope behind a donkey, and the Roman citizens would throw things at them. And that's what Paul says that Jesus did to Satan. Why would he cut off both thumbs? Because they'd never be able to hold a sword in battle again. Why would they cut off the big toes? Because they could never run again. Jesus made a public spectacle of Satan. He destroyed his power and his authority over us. 1 John chapter 3:8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's why Jesus came, to destroy the works of the devil. Look at what Jesus said after he rose from the dead. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. After Jesus rose from the dead, he said that all power was given unto me in heaven and in earth. Do you know that Greek word used in the King James translated power is not the word dunamis? That means ability or might. It's not that word power. It's the Greek word exousia. And exousia means authority to rule. So a better translation, and there are lots, the New King James, there's lots of translations that translate it this way, would be, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All authority was given to him. He always had all power, but now he has the authority. Why? Because he became a physical man and defeated Satan as a physical man. What God lost in the earth through the fall of Adam was not power. What God lost when Adam fell, God did not become weaker. You understand that? This. He was as powerful as he ever was. What God lost in the fall was authority in the physical earth. But Jesus now has all power and authority, both in heaven and in earth. Our enemy and his kingdom has absolutely no power or authority over us. He has no power. He has no authority to make you do anything. All Satan can do is tempt us. All Satan can do is tempt you. Tempt you to act contrary to who you are in Christ. And if we yield to him, we're doing the same thing that Adam and Eve did. We are yielding our human power and authority. Satan can't do anything without a person's consent or cooperation. You know, some of us think we're so deceived. Satan comes with temptation and deception, and we're so deceived that we literally think that sin is forcing us to sin. You know, we're being forced to sin. That is not true. Let's put it this way. If you believe that it's God's will to heal your physical body, it's just as much of God's will that in Christ Jesus that you have been delivered from all sin. Do you understand that? Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are no longer under the law, but grace. Do not believe the enemy's lies. Our enemy and his kingdom has no authority. Satan can't do anything without your cooperation. And we have to choose daily which tree we're going to eat from. You know that? We're back. We have our regenesis. You've been born again. You're back in the garden. You're in paradise. But you don't realize it. Paradise lives in you. Where did Jesus say the kingdom of God is? within you. Where did the waters of living water come from? Within you. What is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You. You're in paradise. That's why you got to use your authority. You should be spheres of paradise in this planet. We are representatives. We are children of God. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We have to choose daily if we're going to eat from the tree of life or if we're going to eat from the tree of self-reliance and self-righteousness, the lie, the deception of the knowledge of the good and evil, and choose for ourselves who we are. Satan is not someone to be feared. Satan is not someone to be feared. And the church has done a good job at trying to convince believers that they should be afraid of Satan. I mean, the movies, even some of the teachings that came out of the 80s and early 90s were just ridiculous. Satan is not someone to be feared, but someone you need to recognize and resist. Someone to recognize and resist. Whenever you have a feeling, a desire, a drawing, or lust in some direction, all you have to do is quit yielding to those things. Do you realize this? What you do with your physical body releases either the power of God or the power of the devil in your life. Here's how you overcome. You want to know how you overcome sin? It's easy. Ready? Do what you know you're supposed to do, even if you don't feel like it. Do what you're know you're supposed to do, even if you don't feel like it. What's your feelings have anything to do with anything? Are you ruled by your feelings? Do what you're supposed to do, even if you don't feel like it, and do that every day. It doesn't matter that you don't feel like doing it. If you start obeying and yielding your actions to God, then he will be strengthened in your life. As you quit obeying and yielding your body to the devil, he'll become weaker in your life. As you resist him, he will flee. See, the reason why we get to a place where it seems like we're being forced is because we've went so long without resisting him. But the Bible says you resist the devil and he will flee from you. So when someone comes to you and says that they cannot get out of sin, my comment is you're not resisting. You're not resisting. And the problem is that we get to a place where our bodies, like we talked about this earlier, the dopamine and we like the way that the sin makes us feel. You know, sometimes it just feels good to tell somebody off. Sometimes it feels good, doesn't it, to hold a grudge and not forgive somebody. You really got them, don't you? It feels good to just give them a piece of your mind and get angry. It feels good to act contrary. Our flesh thinks it feels good, but it creates death within us. See, and then guilt and condemnation come into our life. Relationships are destroyed. We feel separated from God, not because God left, but because we're yielding to the devil. And then we feel miserable. But it feels good over here. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. See, the problem is we resist God and submit to the devil. And then we wonder why we feel guilt and condemnation. So God has given us huge authority. He has given us huge authority as born-again believers. Jesus has given us more authority than Adam and Eve had. Do you realize this? Why do I say that? Well, first of all, we have a different spirit than they had. We have a different spirit than Adam and Eve had. Adam and Eve had a pure spirit when God created them. He created in his likeness and his image, but it was their spirit. Because if it was the spirit of God, it could never fall. You understand that? You can't corrupt the spirit of God. But when we're born again, we did not receive a cleansed spirit. We received the very Spirit of God. We were engrafted. We were baptized. We were submerged. We were married to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit lives in within us. The Bible says that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, hallelujah. Jesus is in the Godhead. He is a physical man. He's a resurrected physical man. We forever are united with him. It says in Ephesians that he is seated at the right hand of God, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. We have more authority than Adam and Eve ever had. They had authority over the earth. However, when Jesus rose from the dead, he had authority in heaven, authority in the earth, and authority under the earth, meaning over the entire demonic realm and hell. Jesus says, I had the keys of death and the grave. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And Jesus told the church that the authority that he had, I now give you, go and continue to do my work in the earth. Jesus says, the works that I do, and even greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Jesus has all power and authority, both in heaven and earth and under the earth, and he has delegated that authority to the church, his image bearers in the earth. And we are told to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom, and in his name, his power and authority, make the enemy his footstool, teaching all men the ways of the kingdom, discipling nations and transforming the world. That's the mandate of the church. We've lost our way. We think that the mandate of the church is getting people to say a prayer and going to heaven. No, it's to bring heaven to earth. God, Jesus is not about, didn't come to this earth and do what he did to get men into heaven. He did what he did to get heaven into men. So the question that you should be asking now is, how do I get Jesus' authority to work in my life? You want to know? Well, then come on back next week. That's what we're gonna talk about next week. Troy?
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.